The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Three men who got as great a compliment as anyone could. One of them was John the Baptist when Jesus said, no person, no man born to woman has ever been as great or as a person as John the Baptist. King David, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. And the one we're going to study today in Deuteronomy 34, it says this, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. God does recognize great men. For Job, he said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. God recognizes that. The Bible says he goes to and fro through all the earth, looking to see whom he can make himself known to by faith. And so today we're going to look at Moses. Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper. Alex is out today with his wife, Angie. They are celebrating their wedding anniversary. And Alex said, I'm gone so much, and he is gone. He travels a lot, and he took the day off to be with Angie today. So we wish Alex and Angie a very happy wedding anniversary. And setting in Alex's place is our own Teddy James. Welcome, TJ.
Hey, Brother Bert. I always appreciate being on here, man. Love exploring the Word.
Well, this one happened quick. Wesley Wildman, or W Squared, as sometimes we call him on the radio, was going to be with us, and he found out he needed to be somewhere else at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you coming in, brother.
Hey, it's always a privilege.
Hey, when you've been trained at Blue Mountain College,
you're ready in season and out.
You're taught that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You are. And so you're getting two graduates of Blue Mountain College, which is a college here in Northeast Mississippi. And it's a small school, but yet they've had a big impact around the world when it comes to missions. Okay, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 34, TJ. And again, before we get to that, we need to skip back to chapter 32, verses 48 and following, because it introduced the death of Moses there, because that's what we're looking at today, the death of Moses, or the transference of power. Mm-hmm. We studied a little bit about that last 2 days. But it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Arabim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, view the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. And it says, and die on the mountain which you ascend and be gathered to your people. Okay, he's told Moses that he's going to die two or three times before this. Mm-hmm. How do you like that? Preparation to die.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those things of, you know, if you had the choice of knowing when you were going to die, would you take it?
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, Moses was a guy who saw God face to face. And so you have to understand that Moses viewed death very differently than we do today. Is that right?
I agree. He had seen God face to face. Nobody can look on me and live.
Right.
And when he saw God face to face, he had to hide his face mm-hmm. from him. So it was we call it a veiled face to face. Okay. So here we find Moses in preparation. I just want to say we need to prepare for death. When I do a funeral, sometimes I've used John 14, and it talks about I go to prepare a place for mm-hmm. you. And I do use the cliche, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Right.
And so he had prepared him. Now, the reason he was preparing, I don't think he was preparing Moses as much as he was trying to prepare the people
right.
to live without Moses.
You know, I think that's a really good point, because the man who was going to follow Moses, now we know that it's Joshua, and I'm sure some of the people knew, but I'm sure also that, you know, there was going to be some contention there. But God was establishing that he was still in control even after Moses had died, that Moses' death was not going to be a surprise to him, but that he was still God, he was still in control, and that he had a plan that extended past the life of Moses.
Exactly. And so that brings us to chapter 34, and mm-hmm. we're going to finish that up. It's a short chapter compared to all the other chapters in Deuteronomy, but it is jam-packed with some information that I think can be helpful for us to look at today. Chapter 34, verse 1 says, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab." Now the Lord had told him to go up. He obeys to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah. Now, I thought, well, that's weird. Mount Nebo is at the range, and Pisgah's the specific peak. The word Pisgah means the preferences. In other words, it's
very top.
The very top. So Mount Nebo is the mountain, and Pisgah is the place on the mountain. Mm-hmm. And he's to go up there. It's the very top. And so from there, he looks into the land that he wanted to go into.
Right, and that's really key, because he did not get to go into it. He gets to see it, but not take it.
Exactly.
And that is really, really important for us to remember, because it was partly because of Moses' own sin that he couldn't go into the promised land, the land that God had promised him. But it was because of the people's sin that that entire generation didn't get to go in. So,
exactly.
You know, Moses was personally responsible because he struck the rock when he was commanded to speak to it. And all these different things. So yes, Moses was responsible for that. But at the same time, there were people that he had saw die because of their sin. And now he's knowing he is going to die because of his sin.
There's been discussion about how severe a punishment this is for just one act of, you know, striking the rock in place of speaking to the rock. He did it in anger. He did it out of, he lost control.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it does show you sometimes that window of opportunity or the door of opportunity is only open for one time.
One time. And that's it. That's the only choice, the only chance you get.
And we look at it on it being very severe. But let me share this with you. With leadership comes higher responsibility. It's not a double standard. Higher standard. You got to look the difference in double standard and higher standard. To whom much is given, much is required. That is a higher standard. And so a lot of times people say, well, I'm just as good as that person is. They're comparing themselves to someone else. That's the wrong comparison. We compare ourselves to what God expects out of us.
Right.
Where does he want us to go? And so here is Moses. He goes to the top, and the Lord showed him all the land. And look at that. It's a good part of the land. They think it's 6 miles away, and he could see it. I remember going to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the top of Lookout Mountain, it says you can see 7 states from there. If you look to see where Chattanooga is, it is where a lot of states are close by, Georgia, Alabama, Virginia,
right.
All of those are close. And so here he could see a lot of the land that had been promised to them. You know, a vision, you know, of what God was giving them is great. Now, I told you I was going to share this, and I want to do it now. I've got time in this segment, so I think I'll do it here. The three great pillars of faith in the Old Testament, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I don't think anybody argues with this, would be Abraham, Moses, and David, okay?
Sure.
And each one of them were even given a promise or desired to do something that they desired to do, and they were equipped to do it, but God said no. Not now. Abraham, concerning the seed being multiplied, he had one child of promise. Isaac had one child of promise. And it wasn't until Jacob came along and he had the 12 sons.
The third generation got to see the fulfillment or a fulfillment
that
of the
fulfillment.
Promise.
And then they would go into Egypt 400 years and they'd stay there. And then they'd come out and take the land. That's the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant of occupying the land. Abraham didn't get to see it. He just knew about it. Same way with Moses. Moses wanted to go in the land.
Mm-hmm.
He was to bring them out and take them in. All he got to do was bring them out, and Joshua got to take them in. He didn't get to fulfill the final purpose. Same thing with David. David, he wanted to build the temple. He gathered all the material. He got everything ready. But
he even
Solomon,
made the plans for it.
He made the plans. All he said to Solomon, he says, just do it.
Yeah.
He did that before
because
Nike
did. He had everything. Yeah. He had everything ready to go. Now, Solomon, because of his wealth and because of, you know, his wisdom and things like that, he added to it.
Right.
But all of the prep work was done.
David had it.
Right.
And so here it is. I going to mention that. And you're just talking about patience. Yeah.
You know, I think it really does. I think that points to two things. One is about us, but more importantly, the other is about God. But about us is that we only get to see this small picture, this small chapter in a story that God is writing. So I'm a writer. I love books. I love
this
writing.
This is good writing.
It is. It really is. And as an author, one of my favorite things to read and one of my favorite things to write is to put little pieces for characters to see, and they become frustrated because they don't see the whole picture, right? Well, in the story of God, He's writing His story, and each person is only seeing a small bit of it. Imagine a puzzle, and if all you've got of that puzzle is one piece, you can't tell what that entire picture is. But it takes the artist to see the entire thing, and God is the artist here. So the second thing is this, is that God does not look at time the way that we do.
Amen.
When we make a promise, I've got a four-year-old at home. When I make her a promise that we're going to do something, it better happen now or it's never going to happen. She has no sense of time and no sense of patience at all. But
Walker daddy?
I know. Okay, she came by it honest. But God is not that way. He can look at something across a span of 400 years and say, it didn't take long.
Okay.
And we need to have that patience because God may have promised us something that will not be fulfilled till our children, grandchildren, or their grandchildren.
Let's transfer to the New Testament. It says, he who has been faithful over a few things down here will be master of many.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know everything that heaven's going to be like, but I think when we get to heaven, for those who have been faithful, there's going to be a reward of observing those who followed us, and we made a difference in someone's life. I just want to tell you, making a difference in someone's life is as great a blessing. The people who's made the difference in my life, man, when I get some of them have gone on to be with the Lord, yeah. I really do want to thank them.
Absolutely.
And, I want to see Jesus and some loved ones. But there's some people that I really would enjoy seeing in heaven to say
you know,
thank
and the,
you.
The amazing thing is, I think when we do get to heaven, we're going to know those relationships that we had. We're going to know those people that influenced our lives long after their deaths. And I'm like you, brother. I there are men and women that I cannot wait to see and to thank and to say, you know, I did not know the impact that you were making in my life when you were here. But it wasn't until years later that I finally understood, oh, this is what they were teaching me.
Amen. Okay, we introduced verse 5, and we're going to do this before we go to break. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, the two titles that he has here is servant and prophet.
Yeah.
Okay? The highest calling is a servant.
Yeah, and that is the upside-down nature of the gospel.
That's it. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And in God's kingdom, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He says, all you adults, all you Pharisees, you've got to come as a little child. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to keep the children away from Jesus, okay? And he says, no, you need to come as a child is dependent. You need to come dependent on me, fully realizing that, man, I'm the one that you need.
Right. Well, and look at the gospel of justice is God giving his son as penalty as the payment of our penalty. Mm. That's the upside down nature of the gospel.
That's what God does. He can turn your world upside down today by trusting him, following him, asking him to be Lord of your life. TJ, we're going to come back and we're going to look at the rest. We're going to look at a burial. So don't go away. We'll be back with more.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome to Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. The fellowship's message is global, and in May 2013, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein visited their newly opened office in South Korea. While there, he spoke at several key Christian seminaries and conversed with new friends about Christians and Jews, and Koreans and Israelis, coming together to build shalom, peace. Here's an excerpt of Rabbi Eckstein's greeting to seminary students and faculty in South Korea.
When I drove in a few minutes ago to the university, I saw a big sign, Yonsei University, we make history, right? I don't know if you realize, today we are making history. The university was founded in 1885, never has a rabbi been here from Israel to bless you, to greet you. What we are witnessing is God doing miracles today. The fact that Israel and the Republic of Korea could be so close, the fact that I, a Jew, can come here and share with you for a few minutes of the Word of God. That hasn't happened not only since 1885, that hasn't happened for 2,000 years.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Learn more about the Land of Israel and the Jewish faith with our free educational resource, Limud. More information is available at holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and Teddy James, and most of the time it'll be TJ from now on. But anyway, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and again, if you tuned in late and wonder where Alex is, he and Angie are celebrating their wedding anniversary. And so he's on the road so much, TJ, that I bet Angie said, hey, for our anniversary, I need you here.
Uh-huh. You better be home. Better be sleeping in the doghouse.
I bet. Yeah. So anyway, but she is a great woman, and I'm telling you, Alex is blessed, and she had a lot. She was the one most responsible for leading Alex to the Lord, TJ. Mm-hmm. And so we praise the Lord for those two people. But we're in Deuteronomy 34. We're at verse 5. We talked about the servant of the Lord, how everything with God is kind of upside down from what it is here upon the earth. And he died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. The days are numbered. You know, I do believe God does have a time frame for our lives. Mm-hmm. I do believe it can be cut short by disobedience.
Absolutely.
Okay? And because disobedience brings cursing, and part of the curse is
death.
Mm-hmm. And so Moses, his body was built for a longer period of time because it says, let me just read this, and you read it. You read verses 5 through 8, if you would.
All righty. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. All the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended.
Okay. Again, his body was prepared for a longer life.
Right, his eyes were undimmed, his vigor was unmitigated. So he was and could have gone a lot longer than 120 years. But I do think it's interesting, and something we have to talk about, is that God himself buried Moses.
Okay.
Got to go there.
And I don't know of anywhere else that is said.
No.
No. I cannot think. Our Alex is not here with his computer like mine. But
the only closest things that I could think of are the men who were taken up. So we find in the New Testament.
Now, who were they?
All right, so Melchizedek was taken up. We know that he was not buried, of course. Who was it in Hebrews? I think we read that.
Yeah.
Enoch was taken up. Elijah was taken up. Were there any others?
I don't know of any others. Those
okay,
are
so you got those three men who they were taken up physically and spiritually.
But it doesn't say they died.
Right, they did not die. They did not taste death. Moses died and was buried. So the question has to come up, okay, why? Brother Bert, I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay,
why do you think that
before
is?
Before you do that, I want to share something with you, and it's in Jude in the New Testament. That you people know that I love to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Get the old and new and put them together. In Jude, verse 9, the reason you don't say chapter of Jude is only one chapter.
Right.
So you say Jude, verse 9. And it's talking about this, and it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring an accusation against him, a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, again, they're talking about rebuking leaders or magistrates, mm-hmm. and it's talking about Michael wouldn't even say a derogatory term toward Lucifer or Satan himself.
Right.
But the part that we're interested in is them.
That they were arguing over the body of Moses.
Over the body of Moses.
Right. And what does that mean? And go ahead. Okay. I don't have anything
everything,
to say that.
Everything's speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nobody knows.
This is a commentary of Brother Bert Harper.
This is. And I do believe there's two reasons. The main reason, I believe that God buried him so that they could not find where he was buried
mm-hmm.
to make a shrine or some kind of altar. Because they're about to go in the land where they are not to have a shrine. Their only thing there to do is have altars at different places, and mm-hmm. God's going to restrict that even. And that he didn't want them coming back over into Moab to an altar there when he had already given them the land. I believe that's the main reason. God did. They knew they would probably come close to worshiping the shrine.
I have no doubt. I have zero doubt of
they
that.
They wound up worshiping false gods over there, didn't they?
Right, and to them, it very easily could have been, because you have to remember, they had just spent the last 400 years in Egypt, or 100 years in Egypt, where they
400
were,
years.
400 years, where they were surrounded by pagan gods. They were surrounded by a leader who called himself God. They were surrounded by all this. It would have been very easy for them to look at the miracles God performed through the hands of Moses and for them to worship Moses instead of God. Whenever we come to Scripture, there's a couple of things that I do. Whenever I read, I'm looking for, what does this reveal about God? What does this reveal about his character? What does this reveal about his person? What does this show me about the person of God? The second thing I look at is, what does it reveal about us as fallen human creatures? And then I'll later look at, what does this apply? How does this apply to me? In this, in Deuteronomy 34, it reveals something about God and his wisdom and his patience, which we discussed in the first segment. But it reveals about us that we can create an idol out of anything and everything. We can take a grave and make it a worship site.
We can do it. We've had folks ask, have we done that with a cross? And Alex and I responded, you can.
You can.
And so the possibilities, like you said, what we've done. The other thing about this, the disputing over his body,
mm-hmm.
I think the body is going to reappear in the New Testament at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Elijah and Moses, the prophet and the law. And I don't believe Satan knows the specifics about the future.
Right.
Okay.
He does not have...
No.
Prophecy.
So I don't think, okay, I'm going to steal his body so he can't reappear at the Mount of Transfiguration this far away. I do not give Satan that much credit. Don't give mm-hmm. him more credit than he.
Right.
Okay? Don't give Satan room. Don't give him the credit that he does not deserve. He is not all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Nor is he all-powerful.
He is not. He is limited in both of those. But I do believe that he was wanting to maybe use that body to distract the people.
Absolutely.
Okay? I believe he would. Now, since it was Michael, the archangel, that he was doing, was it Lucifer himself? I do believe it was. Mm-hmm. But he was hindered. But guess who won the battle? God run the battle.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're talking about let's do some stuff with that.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a battle. I mean, spiritually, we're in a battle, our own lives. Churches in America are in a battle going on. Where do they go? What do they turn? They're losing members, so they're trying different things to gain members, and sometimes they're lowering the bar too low.
Here's the thing. You know what? Going back to, you had asked a question, can we make an idol out of the cross? I completely agree. However, I think something that we tend to do is to make a cheaper cross.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was Chuck Swindoll went to Brazil, and of course they have open air markets on the mm-hmm. streets, and there was a sign, it was in Portuguese, and he saw this person, you know, selling crosses and other religious artifacts. And so he asked his translator, he said, you know, interpreter, what does that say? And it said, cheap crosses,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sale. And I think that is a legitimate point. We've lowered the bar. And
it's easy believism. It's, you know, there's so many different things. And what we've done is we've not only cheapened the cross, we've cheapened the grace.
Yeah.
And I think that we tend to do that when we get away from the gospel.
We can't believe how, honestly, when I got saved, I could not believe there was not more to it.
Right.
Not what I received, but as a 12-year-old boy, TJ, my life was literally changed by trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was real for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Christ had died on the cross for me. I knew that there was nothing in me that could benefit me and help me, and I repented, turned from my way, and I surrendered to the Lord. I don't remember the words are said because God doesn't listen to the words anyway. He's looking on the heart.
Exactly.
But God saved my soul at 12 years old, and I said, this is it. Now, again, does it sound simple? Now, there's a difference in simple and easy.
Oh, that's good.
That is the terminology, and what we're trying to do, make it easy. No, it is simple. It is simple. And don't you complicate it. When men complicate it with works and everything, you're going beyond. But don't make it so easy, believism. It is sacrificing. It says lose your own life.
Yeah, carry your cross. And here's the thing. Look at Galatians 6. You know, Brother Bert, you and I had the privilege of you gave me the privilege of coming on and talking about Galatians when you were going through that on this program. One of the things that the guys did in Galatians, the Judaizers, is they were adding to Jesus.
Exactly.
They were saying, Jesus is not enough. You have to have Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the law. You need Jesus plus nothing. Jesus alone is salvation. Jesus alone is the gospel. And when we add to it, we are sinning because we are adding to the gospel and we are creating a false gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but we are trying to take the gospel of God and we are morphing it and absolutely defacing it and turning it into something that it is not.
Amen. Well said. And here, God wins. He buries him. They don't know where. We don't know where it is today.
And we don't need to know.
We don't need to know. But he was raised. At least he had a body for the transfiguration when he appeared there with Jesus. Now we move down to verse 9, and we make a transition. Let's talk about this a little bit, a transition of leadership. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel needed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Transition, and I made the mention the other day of here at AFA, the transition from Brother Don to Tim as president. It was amazing transition. I was up close and personal. I saw it. And a lot of times transitions can be very difficult. I know I'm rerunning this. Brent's over keeping the board, but we've made this several times, but it needs to be repeated because this is where a lot of things are lost. Is in transitions,
completely
in a
agree.
Relay race, handing that baton off and the other guy getting that baton and running with it,
mm-hmm.
that's the most strategic time. The Olympics are coming up. And, I there's a lot of things I don't care to watch about the Olympics. I love to watch the relay races. I love to watch the relay races because it's a team, because I enjoy teams,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it better. But here it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit. God prepared Moses to die. He prepared the people for the death. He tried to prepare them for Joshua's leadership, and God also prepared Joshua.
Exactly. He prepared Joshua. And the thing that we, there's so many applications to this, but I just want to speak to some to one thing. You know, you had mentioned AFA and the transition that we went through from Brother Don to Tim now. There are so many people in churches right now listening to us who are transitioning from a pastor to maybe an interim pastor, maybe a supply, or maybe they're even bringing in a new pastor. And the let me just say this. Do not try to make the new pastor fit the mold or wear the shoes of the old pastor. That does a disservice to you as the church, and it does a disservice to him, and it does a disservice to the former pastor. Joshua filled his own shoes because God had formed his shoes for him. God had made the path for Joshua. God had equipped Joshua. It says he had given him the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. Joshua knew what to do because God called him to do it. And the pastor that is coming into your church, pray for him, uplift him and his family, serve him and his family, and help them in the transition because they're transitioning just as the church is. Sorry for that rant, but I had to go there.
I've been the pastor. I appreciate that. Now I do the transitioning. I do mm-hmm. the interim a lot of times, and I do my best to prepare for the new pastor. Let's get to verse 10. If we don't go any further, it says, "But since Moses," I introduced this one by reading, introduced the segment today by reading this verse, "sent there has not risen an Israel, a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Mm-hmm. Now, not just saw. Notice the word knew. Mm-hmm. There had been 40 years now. Let me share two or three things. There had been at least two times that God brought the possibility to Moses, said, "I'm going to kill them off and I'm going to start all over with you." Mm-hmm. And Moses said, no. Moses loved these stiff-necked, stubborn people. You know, I'm amazed. I may have said, "Okay, God, that sounds like a good deal with me." But Moses said, "No, God, we don't want your name. We want you to get glory." And although that would be keeping your promise, because I'm a part, mm-hmm. We could start all over. But listen, the world needs to know that you are God and there's none beside you. That's really the purpose of everything, is glory to God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today, that God might receive glory and honor.
You know what? And if we can go back to something else we talked about in the first segment, is when God gives us a promise, it's not about us. He's not giving us a promise to make us feel better, to make us, you know, a promise from God is encouraging. I don't want to say that it's not. It definitely is. But the purpose of the promise is not to bring us health and wealth. It's to make much of his name. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Yeah. We're seeing the end of a life that made much of God. And at the end of our life, you know, we talked about preparing for death. At the end of our life, if the only thing that can be said about us is that we made much of God,
so
I could think of nothing better to say.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
That's it. And what you've done with Jesus determines that.
Absolutely.
888-589-8840 is the number. We would love for you to call. Linnea talk and she'll take your call. And Brent will transfer it over to me, and TJ and I'll listen to your question and we'll try to answer it, right?
We'll do our best.
888-589-8840. We'll be back with your questions right after this break.
The repenters must repent. Back in the 1970s, a Romanian pastor often used the phrase, "the repenters must repent." One pastor embraced the name calling and began preaching on this theme. It's time for the repenters to repent. People in his congregation entered into a covenant of repentance. And as a result of their changed behavior, the whole region was soon ablaze in revival and spiritual awakening. The influence of those repenters was ultimately felt throughout Europe and the world. Repentance is always a hallmark of revival, whether that's a widespread moving of the Spirit or personal revival. Malachi 3 says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." Is God calling you to return? to repent of some sin. It's time for the repenters to repent. I'm Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth from Revive Our Hearts for OneCry.com.
When you're back to school shopping, it's best if you don't shop at a store that endangers women and children. Target stores still have that policy which lets men who say they're transgendered use the women's bathrooms and fitting rooms. Clearly, that's a bad policy. If you spend your back-to-school dollars elsewhere, you can tell Target you value safety and common sense over political correctness. And you and your friends can still sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net. Together, we will be heard.
To sharpen the faith of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. This is host David Wheaton inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, to pursue that mission as we discuss a compelling topic from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The corruption of willful blindness in our government makes me angry, especially when the innocent are hurt or killed because of it. You may remember the disturbing image of the covered, lifeless body of a young child with her doll lying next to her from the recent attack in France. How can we help but feel angered over radical Islamic jihadist attacks? How can we help but feel the same disgust at the willful blindness which allows such terrorism to continue? Let's pray that our government will name and aggressively engage the enemy, hastening the day when such savagery will be halted here in America and internationally. Pray that we'll awaken and take responsibility for becoming informed. Pray that God will give us hearts filled with hatred for evil, yet tender with compassion for our enemy, both foreign and domestic, for His own glory. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hey, Crane here. Coming up at 5 Central this afternoon is Nothing But Truth, President Obama's DNC speech. We'll examine the claims he made and measure them against his record. Plus, a response to a disturbing speech by an abortion advocate. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Going to pass away, but the Word of God will abide forever. What a, you're talking about promises? That's a good promise, isn't it? We're ready with phone lines and 888-589-8840. We've got a line open if you want to call. We're going to get to as many calls as we can today, and we're going to go to Arkansas first and talk to Eric. Eric, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi there, Bert.
Yes.
I've been listening to the radio station for a long time. I want to say you guys did me a really great service. I've fallen away from God for a long time. And, I listened to you guys' radio station, and it really just awoke a spirit. I wanted to get back into the Word and go back to my roots.
Amen. Well, Eric, let me just say a word. Brother, that's one of the purposes of Exploring the Word. We're not just there to give out information. We want to encourage people to get into the Word on their own. And thank you for sharing that. Go ahead, Eric.
All right, so I was reading the Bible about a month ago in Matthew, and I had come across scripture I'd heard a lot of times as a kid, but I never really thought how it would apply as an adult, where it had spoken, Jesus was speaking, and he was talking about, you know, if you were slapped her in the other cheek, and he was also saying that if someone were to sue you, you know, and let them sue you. He was saying that, you know, like, all right, well, you are, you know, he was saying that if you were sued, then you're sued if you get slapped or in the other cheek. And I was wondering how that would, like, apply to the business world today. Like, if I owned a business, someone were to sue me, then how does that work?
Okay. It does not mean that you sacrifice everything in the world so that, you know, that could be demonstrated. It does mean that you need to look at the person as an individual and possibly look at it as making a mistake and be ready to do that. That was with the Romans. You would carry the their cloak mm-hmm. another mile. Yep. Okay, that would not cost you anything but time. Okay, when you're getting into your business or you're getting into your family, there's a little bit more caution there.
Well, and also you have to remember, especially if you are running a business, you're also responsible not just for your own income or your family, but also for the income of your employees. So you can't throw that away. I'll just say this. If somebody has made a mistake and there's a way that you can both find a solution outside of the court system, that's always going to be the best way. But sometimes that's just simply not a possibility.
Sometimes insurance won't let you do it today.
That's a good point.
The insurance ties up a lot of the things that we could do as believers.
Right.
Car accidents, mm-hmm. The insurance, they got to get involved. And so there's a lot. But here's the principle. The principle is that you do care about that person, okay?
Right.
And you do look for an opportunity to do good unto them.
Mm-hmm.
You look for that opportunity. And Eric, I would say that's so true. But I want to tell you, fool me once, shame on
you're right.
me. Fool me, you, shame me twice, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you.
Right,
fool
so
me
we twice, are to be wise and,
yes.
and also very, very discerning. So, if something has happened and that's kind of what sounds like maybe, if it's just a general in principle, here it is. We have laws that you can protect yourself, your business, and yourself, and there's nothing wrong using those laws in a morally and ethical, God-honoring way. There's a way to do it that is God-honoring, and there's a way to do it that is not. Is that fair to say?
It is. It is, and you want to do it the God-honoring way, and you do. You don't want to do them in if you
right.
can keep from it,
yeah.
know? But sometimes the greatest thing you can do is bring somebody to the realization of what they did is wrong because they're developing a lifestyle, and what they'll do the next time is worse than they did.
Right.
You don't let them slide.
You don't want to enable.
You're not enabling them to letting them slide.
Right.
But you're working with them to try to bring a benefit to both.
Yeah.
Eric, that's a good question, brother, and I appreciate you listening, and keep listening, man. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Gary. Gary, welcome again, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bert and JT. I've been listening to the show, and it's a great show about Moses. But y'all mentioned earlier that Moses saw God face to face. I don't think that's scriptural. God allowed him to see his backside.
Well, what we said, it says this. He knew. Now, notice the words. Gary, what I said, and I was very careful on that because I know what you're talking about. It did not say he saw him face to face. It says he knew him face to face.
And I think, in all honesty, I think I slipped up and said that, and just that was my lax in language. I was
okay.
not as careful as I should have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bert, you're absolutely right.
Okay, I know I said that. I wasn't listening to you at that time. Sorry about that. But anyway, he saw him. He knew him face to face is the literal terms. Seeing him is when God had to hide him in the cleft
right.
of the rock, and
the
he put it, and veiled, and he put his hand over him, and saw his as he saw him leave. He saw the back of mm-hmm. God. And so, Gary, you're right on that, and I appreciate you that if that was a clarification.
Yeah.
But he knew. In other words, he knew him intimately. After all these years, they had many discussions, and it was with veiled face, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can look on him and live in his total being.
Right.
You would
yeah,
die
because
before
you would
God.
Die. I mean, yeah.
You'd die before God to know him. Even at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus, his glory began to show, they had to bow and hide their face. They
mm-hmm.
could not look upon him even there.
Right.
Gary, thank you for that, and I appreciate that, brother. Let's go to Texas and talk to Margarita. Margarita, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, I can't believe I gotcha.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been listening. Okay. Well, I love what you said. I wanted to compliment you and thank you for what you said about Christians are not afraid to die because we look at death differently. I do believe with all my heart that absence from the body is presence with the Lord, if you've been truly born again. And I'm just real concerned about, I have a daughter that has cancer, and I do believe, though, my children all, when they were little, I do believe they all had true born-again experiences. But we've all had slips, you know. And with me, I've had that bad slip, sobriety, losing its priority. I want to know how I can live each day. I believe that we all need to live each day as if it's our last. And why? Because it just might be. Any of us could meet our maker at any moment. And I want to avoid having slips. I want to ask you guys about, if I drink a small glass of wine with a neighbor, does that mean that I've lost? I know it doesn't, because Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine, but how can I resist the temptation of alcohol the best?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Margarita, thank you. And yes, I want to share with you, we live each day knowing the possibility it could be the very last day.
You have to live in light of eternity.
And you do that knowing that. And so you live that life, and praise the Lord that you've been listening. Now, when it comes to alcohol, I'll put myself on the line. I'm a teetotaler, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily because the Bible commands me not to drink. The Bible commands me not to be controlled by alcohol, which would be drunkenness. But the Bible warns against even the use of alcohol in the book of Proverbs.
Yeah, and it says, you know, here's the thing when it comes to Scripture is that it doesn't ever paint alcohol in a positive light, with the exception of Timothy, where, you know, Paul says...
Medicine.
Right, for medicinal purposes. And so I will just say this, if it is a temptation for you, in other words, if it is something that is controlling you, then what that means is that alcohol has become an idol for you.
But if you never drink it, you'll never know if it was or not.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, and my thing is always this, if and that applies not just to alcohol, but it's to anything.
Yeah.
If anything has become more important to you, more of a driving force in your life than Christ himself, then that thing is an idol.
Amen.
So if you can't go to bed without a glass of wine, although, you know, studies, in fact, had a conversation with somebody today who's a doctor, told them, you need one glass of red wine.
Well, I asked them about that, and they said, I said, will a grape juice do as much? He said, yeah, really.
Well, go for it.
And so
I definitely would not say, here, go do this.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if something is a temptation for you, and it sounds like it might be, Margarita, if you're saying, how can I, you know, resist this temptation, then it's already become a temptation for you.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, call it what it is, and if it is an idol in your life, then identify it as such, and then live in light of that. Look in Deuteronomy, look in the Scriptures, and see what we are to do with idols, and then absolutely cast it away.
What you were describing is what Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach, or the physical ailment, and that's what you were saying.
Yeah, in the medicinal realm.
Yeah, but they have, seriously, I'm not unbiased on this. Mm-hmm. After pastoring for close to 40 years, living in a family where I saw alcohol do damage. I'm not unbiased, and I make that known. And I just say the best thing you can do is stay away from it. If I don't know if I'd have been an alcoholic or not. I've never drank it.
Yeah, don't tempt.
Don't tempt me. So, you know, I don't have to worry about that. And so, Margarita, thank you for that. And seriously, how you do that? Be not drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with Spirit. Fill yourself with the Word of God and let Him speak to you. There's hope in that, brother.
You know, and my dad used to always have a saying that if we're busy doing the things we're supposed to do, we won't have time to do the stuff that we're not supposed to do.
I believe in it. Thank you. Thank you, Margarita, for listening. And I hope we gave you a good answer, and I hope it helps you. And we pray for you that you will be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He can give it. Let's go to Illinois and talk to David. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My question is with Moses. With his death, I can see there's three options. You know, one, he dies and is buried, which is what God did. Another, he could have died and translated. And a third, he could have just been translated up while alive. Why do you think that God actually buried him instead of either translating him like Enoch or Elijah, or taking him up after his death?
Dave, that's a great question. I want to share with you. I was tempted to share this, and it's speculation, okay? I believe the Lord Jesus could return at any time,
mm-hmm.
okay? The Bible says that those that are alive will be caught up with the Lord in the air, okay? That is a translation,
right.
You know. Then those that are dead, the dead in Christ shall rise first. When I see Moses and them talking about the transfiguration, I think they talked about two things. We know they talked about the cross, okay, because it says that. But the possibility of talking about things to come, the possibility of him coming again, you know, Christ, you know, he's come the first time, he's mm-hmm. coming again. And you have a picture there of the dead in Christ. So he was buried. And there, and at the Mount of Transfiguration, you had Elijah that was translated,
mm-hmm.
didn't see death.
Oh, that's good. That's
okay, and you see Moses who did die and was buried, but raised with him. Now, again, brother, I'm not saying that's exactly why, but I'm giving you a possibility of reason.
Yeah, that's a really interesting. I'll be honest with you, I've never thought of asking the question, so I don't have an answer. I'm gonna just echo what you said. That is really fascinating. I've got to go chew on that for a little bit.
Okay. Well, I've chewed my cud quite a while on a lot of it. If you pastor for nearly 40 years, there's not a lot of new questions that come your way. I'll tell you that. Okay, David, thank you for your intriguing call, and I mean
really,
that,
really
brother.
Well done.
And thank you for listening. I'll ask you, TJ, is it Illinois or Illinois?
Illinois.
Okay, I wondered. Okay, let's go to Ohio and talk to Diane. Diane, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you. You were talking about idols, and one of the things that Hezekiah did was broke to pieces the snake that Moses had made, and the Israelites had started burning incense mm-hmm. to it.
You better believe it.
There again, we can create an idol out of anything.
29:2.
That's it. And Diane, thank you for reminding. When we were going over that, they'd even given it a name. And they had given it a place of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making it an idol.
Right.
Okay.
They were worshiping.
Now, when I was a teenager a few years ago.
Not too long ago.
Okay, I remember my pastor saying, guys, get rid of the idols in your life.
Yeah.
And at that time, I tell you what the idol was. It was, you know, sports.
Mine was baseball.
Okay, I've had to deal with sports even into adulthood, you know, man. And football season coming up in, you know, I think it's about 40 days, you know, we're going to have opening season. And I've already said, okay, Lord, it does not come before you. I want to keep up with it. There's nothing wrong with keeping up with mm-hmm. it. But we can make it idols, guys. We have to fight against that. Nothing between me and God.
That's it. And there again, when you wake up in the morning, what is your first thought? When you go to bed, what is your last thought? That's a really good indication of where are your idols. Because if it's, you know, I know for my generation, it's social media. Man, we're all the time. We're all over our social media feeds. And it's not the social media that is the idol. It rather is the approval of others that has become the idol for us.
Speaking of social media, tell them what you're doing with Engage.
Hey, engagemagazine.net. You can check us out. We help people build a biblical worldview, challenge worldview that's been built for you, and rebuild one based on Scripture, where we share truth and apply Scripture every day. Engagemagazine.net.
EngageMagazine.net. And you got a radio program, too.
Yeah, we got a radio program. It comes on 5:30. You can also check us out at Facebook, Engage Magazine.
5:30 on what day?
Saturday.
5:30 on Saturdays.
Yep.
Okay.
So go to EngageMagazine.net. You can get all of our contact, all our social media stuff, all of it. It's right there for you.
TJ, thank you for coming in at the light.
Hey,
this is what you call pinch hitting, brother.
Good sports.
Amen. And you did a great job, and we appreciate that. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to have Fire Away Friday tomorrow. And we'll be ready to get your questions. So have them ready, and we'll be sharing our answers with you here on Exploring the Word. Tell someone about this program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.